you might feel inclined to say, soon you'll know who I am, is a thinly veiled threat. And you'd be correct if someone like me or you said it. But when an internationally known terrorist says, soon you'll know who I am, I'm much bigger than that or better than that, soon you'll know who I am, that's not a thinly veiled threat. That is a flashing red light stop sign. Like, if they didn't know who he was, they should have just taken this guy into custody right now. Citizen's arrest, or just like, I don't know how you want to prosecute this under street justice. This is a big problem. So, welcome back to the Joe Mobley Show. I am Joe Mobley, your host, the original uncloseted conservative. Guys, we've got an awesome show for you tonight. We're talking about how we, you and I, are all little kings and how that ties into what Michael, Michael, what's your last name? Eastern? What Michael Easter calls the comfort crisis. We're talking about all of the crises, from comfort to the border crisis, the national security crisis it creates, the fentanyl crisis. We've got crises just pouring out from everywhere. We're talking about late breaking news that the DOJ has decided and published that they are not going to criminally charge President Joe R. Biden, basically for mishandling classified documents. The reason they're not going to charge him is hilarious and scary at the same time. Guys, all that and more, and it all starts right now. Well, 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 guys, it is just me today, Solo Steve. Just putting up a timer, and I will tell you why I'm putting up a timer. I'm putting up a timer because I have finally started. I have finally launched something, and I think it was Sean Cannell had on his YouTube channel the advice: just don't tell people what you're gonna do, what you're about to do. A lot of businesses do that, and then They underperform, they underdeliver, they fail to meet expectations. So instead, just do the thing. So I've been putting a lot more content in my locals community. Many of you are in that locals community. It's the JoeMobleyShow.locals.com or the JoeMobleyShow.com/locals will get you there. But anyway, I've been on. I am on in the locals community, and we are doing members only after shows immediately following the Joe Mobley Show Thursday nights. So first one's tonight. So literally the show 8:30 to 9:30, like 9:35, I will be live for an additional half hour on locals. The link is actually in the description wherever you're watching this, listening to this, except for podcast listeners, because the podcast comes out tomorrow, so live has already happened. But you can become a member. Membership is free. That's an element that of locals that's not like Patreon. Membership is just free. It's an additional social media platform. But it's also like Patreon in that there's premium content that paid supporters. So they have members, which is free. You're just there. You can go through the newsfeed. You can watch reels. You can watch YouTube style videos and listen to podcasts and things like that. But there's also premium content for paid supporters. So they have members, free, supporters, paid. Anyway, my first members only show is tonight. So link is right underneath down there. And obviously, Samantha won't be available for that either. She's not feeling well today. And last thing, this episode is brought to you by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com/Mobley to get the very best prices for some of the most comfortable merchandise that you can have in your home, from robes to pillows, socks, everything. It's just incredible. if you want to treat your skin, if you just want to kind of treat yourself and put something nice on, go to mypillow.com/Mobley. Use promo code Mobley at checkout for the very best prices. Mobley is spelled M-O-B-L-E-Y. All right, guys, so let's get into it. We are, you and I, little kings. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you, the fact that you're watching this right now on the internet, on a personally owned computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone, with all of the history of the world at your fingertips, you have better access to information, to amenities, to the desires of your heart than monarchs did just a few hundred years ago. Literal kings, queens, princes, princesses, duchesses, all that jazz, lords, dukes, all of that stuff. You've got it better. Now, if you happen to be, there's an international audience. I can't thank you guys enough. If you happen to be here in the United States, you're like the royalty of the most powerful empires that have ever existed. We've got air conditioning. That's what AC stands for. We can condition the air or climate control. We can control the climate not to get in rising tides and climate change. What I describe as nonsense, but we can control our atmosphere to get it precisely dialed in to the 2, 3, or 4 degrees that we want it to be everywhere. In our home, in our cars, in our offices, we don't have to experience struggle virtually at all. We can completely remove any type of struggle. We have helicopter parents or even snowplow parents, which are described not as just hovering like the helicopter parents, but snowplow violently removing any opposition, violently removing any challenges or hurdles or obstacles from our children's existence. We live in a time where you can actually do that. Do you guys realize I can leave my house basically at midnight and get one of 100 different premium flavors of ice cream over at Wegmans. Shout out to Wegmans. I can like hit a baseball and hit Wegmans from my house. Do you realize that European monarchs didn't have ice cream until the 1530s? Here's some internet trivia, some world history for you. The wedding of Duke of Orleans, Henry II of France, to Duchess Catherine de Medici of Italy in, I think it was 1532, that bringing together of those two families at that party, that was the first time that monarchs, that literal royalty, were exposed to ice cream. And I can walk to the store anytime, night or day. Like, I think what needs to be true to sustain a product like ice cream? Do you like ice cubes in your drink? You know, do you take the whiskey on the rocks? We live in a time where we have these amenities. We don't have to worry about growing food, about hunting food, about making textile products. All of these things we can order at the push of a button and have to us in big cities. You know, Washington, D.C. is just a few miles down the road from me. You can get it same day. We've gotten Texas, California, drones are delivering things from Amazon fulfillment centers. Same day you can get these products in your hands. We are literally living like kings and queens. Rumble, sorry guys, I didn't have you pulled up. Let me get you up here so I can read your comments. And let's kill that audio.
Our atmosphere.
All right. Boom. Rumble. We are live. Woo-hoo. Well, we've been live, but now I can see your comments. And let's pull that over here where I can see it. Perfect. So what does this cause? This causes a really interesting problem. And I want to put it up on the screen so you can see it, read along here. And of course, uh, I I'm anxiously awaiting the day when I have a producer for the show so I don't have to pull things up and scale them myself. But hey, you know, the journey is a lot of fun. So this is a quote from The Fate of Empires and Search for Survival by John Glubb. Jonathan Glubb, great author, but of his work, check out The Fate of Empires and Search for Survival. He writes in it, the quote that you see here, "Decadence is a moral and spiritual disease resulting from too long a period of wealth and power, producing cynicism, decline of religion, pessimism, and frivolity. The citizens of such a nation will no longer make an effort to save themselves because they are not convinced that anything in life is worth saving." This is a hauntingly real sentiment when I think of the amenities that we enjoy. This is the embodiment. This is the thought manifestation of the idea that strong men make good times make weak men, because we have enjoyed those good times. And those good times bring in a season of wealth, of abundance. We sowed, so now we get to reap. But what we do with that is we indulge in, this is so excellently put by Glubb, we indulge in decadence. Guys, decadence is a spiritual disease. That's why it's not that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what the word actually says. If you crack open the Bible and look for yourself, it's decadence, guys. And I say this, I'm probably one of the younger people that I know that rails against this all the time, but it's the frivolities. Everyone at work, many people at church, and you know, not to start anything with you all, it's different strokes for different folks, but many people at my church, many of my friends, almost all of my colleagues, everyone is dialed in on the Super Bowl, watching extremely wealthy and fit men run around in spandex and beat the crap out of each other is of no interest to me. I played football. I played baseball. I was darn good. I'm a lettered athlete in multiple sports, All-American in baseball, but it's of no interest to me to wear another man's name on my back or on my chest and run around, you know, pretending. And everyone talks about simping. Adult men simp hardest for other adult men who are professional athletes. I don't care where LeBron James went to high school. I don't care who's in the Super Bowl. And then you bring in the Taylor Swift of it all. Thanks again for that, Samantha. Goodness gracious, you like scarred my brain. My algorithm's all messed up and I'm getting Taylor Swift crap now. But guys, frivolity, we've got to extend ourselves beyond the frivolous. We cannot be all consumed with things that ultimately don't matter. With shooting averages and rushing yards and passing yards. We can't be all consumed with that. We are adults. We are supposed to be stewarding a nation, stewarding a society, stewarding it because it's not ours. We are here as just a vapor in the wind, and then we're gone. We are stewarding this for our children and our children's children. And Steph Curry, love him as a guy, sure. Steph Curry's three-point shooting average is totally irrelevant to the health of the society, to the nation, to the legacy. The Bible says that a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Are you getting after that? and changing your family tree and being that catalyst? Or are you getting after decadence and frivolities? And I'll be the first one to tell you, this stuff is enticing. It's extremely enticing. Again, that's why the word says the sin that it doesn't just ensnare and entangle, but it clings so closely is what it says in James. It's not far off desire for evil things. It's not far off. It's actually the desire of your heart. It's the desire of my heart. So I just love how Glub put this into perspective. I don't normally say screenshot stuff. Can I actually full screen this? I wonder. My full screen button's not set up. Oh man. Yeah, when I remade the virtual studio here, I didn't program my Stream Deck all the way out. So I will get that taken care of. But screenshot this because it is worth it. Decadence is a moral and spiritual disease. That is true. That is true, guys. And in decadence, it's more than just having nice things. But in my view, it speaks more to the love of money. We might call it bougie. Out here in Loudoun County, you Loudounites are very bougie. It's very annoying. What does this say? Judy Bauer says, I can't read that. Why is it so small? Hopefully you guys can read it. There we go. Judy says, that must be why Joe likes ice cream. He was at the wedding. Oh, what wedding was I at? I don't know. But I would... If you are getting married, you should consider ice cream cake or ice cream desserts. It's a wonderful idea. All right, so go along with the decadence, going along with the frivolities, going along with the good times that we have because of those righteous and religious men who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Which that's a whole nother conversation, what it is to pledge your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor. Do we even have sacred honor anymore? To go along with that, we have our little creature comforts, all of those things that I listed, the climate control, and, you know, I used to have a freaking... two of them. I used to have these cool pads that I would put in my pillow, and it was cool. I didn't have to turn the pillow to try and get to a cooler side. This is the world that we live in, and it's kind of perfectly distilled and described in Michael Easter's book, The Comfort Crisis. Now, The Comfort Crisis is, I think, number 4 down on my reading list. I've not gotten to it right now. Right now, I'm reading Tactics, A Guide to Sharing or Standing Up for Your Christian Convictions by Greg Kogel. And I'm also reading A Conflict of Visions by Thomas Hell, which if you are over in the after show on Locals Only, we're actually going to be talking about Thomas Hell and talking about A Conflict of Visions. We are not talking about that here. So download the app, set up an account. The link is literally below if you want to join in that discussion. But Easter talks about this in The Comfort Crisis. While we need to embrace discomfort to reclaim your wild, happy, and healthy self. Now, even for not reading the book, I know a great deal about it. He's hit the podcast circuit. He's done hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 interviews, video interviews. You can catch it on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, you know, app of your choice. Get in there, learn something, and then turn the app off and put stuff in the application. If you're not pouring in, if you're not pouring good things into you, you are not going to overflow good things. Now, outwardly, we are wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Now, that renewal is God's renewal. It's the renewal of the mind, the body, and the soul via God's word. But outside of that extra biblical text, you need to be reading. You need to be listening intently to audiobooks or podcasts, not listening to do something to pass the time, not listening for decadence and frivolity, but listening for your personal development, for betterment. This isn't comfortable, but it's important that we get uncomfortable if we're going to be able to live through any type of struggle, if we're going to be resilient. Most of the resiliency training in corporations and organizations here in the States is a joke. And as much as I made fun of it when I was there, the United States military, I served 12 years in the Army. The military and the tactical community is huge in resilience and in not just physical, but mental fitness, mental toughness. And if you're not fit in these areas, then you are doing a disservice to yourself. You're doing a disservice to your family and the people who depend on you. And you are doing a disservice to your community because you're not here to serve yourself. The chief aim of man, the chief aim of man is to know, love, and worship God and give him praise and glory. But next to that, going down on the pecking order, is to live well. The great philosophers talked about living virtuously. Yeah, virtue's good, but is it virtue for virtue's sake? Or are we supposed to be pursuing righteousness? Is that the goodness that we're supposed to be pursuing? Is there goodness? Is there justice? Love, mercy, grace, right, wrong, morality, ethics, apart from a creator God? The answer is no. David Hume, you know, gets all into that, the is-ought problem. How can you tell what is from, or how can you tell what ought to be from what is? It's impossible to derive an ought from an is. This is the Hume guillotine. But it's important that we develop some resolve, that we develop a spirit of toughness and resilience so that we can get through uncomfortable things, because then we can serve ourselves well. We can be a harm reductionist. Are we living in such a way that we are reducing the amount of harm in our lives and the lives around us? Are we helping ourselves? Are we living in such a way that we are a benefit to the people who depend on us, namely our family, and that we are a net positive to the community? Self, family, community. Again, this is something that you can find literally within the first few pages of the Bible. Man's relationship with God, man's relationship with his family, his wife, Adam and Eve, and then man's relationship with the community. Of course, they screwed it up, got kicked out of the garden, but still, community. God created us to have relationships with other people, with our family, but also with people that we call neighbors, with the people out in the community. And we just suck at it. We suck at it. We spend all of our time like this, staring into our little black panic boxes here. It's like a adult pacifier. Instead of shoving it in our mouths, we shove our face into it. And we waste hours and hours and hours. We're not being developed. We are being entertained. That's what all of this is. That's what the comfort crisis is. That's what the Glubb quote about decadence and frivolities and the decline of religion is. And then you see it in your mind. Men are thinking about the Roman Empire because we're living through it. You see the scene from the movie Gladiator when he says to Caesar, "Are you not entertained?" And just like a debate, when you're debating someone who is dug into their position, the debate's not for them. The argument's not for them. The argument is for the audience. So just like in that debate, the comment wasn't for Julius Caesar. The comment was for the audience in the Colosseum. Are you not entertained? And we're living in a time where we seem to think that the point of our existence is to entertain. Oh, Judy, the the wedding of the Duke and Duchess. Well, hey, if I was around in 1532, I look darn good. I'll tell you that. But no, I didn't get an invite to the wedding. Guys, we are dug into our own desire, and instead of desiring truth and beauty and love, we've replaced it with cheap thrills, meaningless and cheap sex, narcissism, entertainment, and it's caused moral decay. Again, Glubb nailed it in that quote. The reason that we need to be aware of it, as I sip my coffee, it's decaf. It's late at night, so it's decaf. The reason we need to be aware of these things is because we need to start to get mastery over ourselves if we're going to be able to be effective in restoring and reviving and rebuilding this dying culture that we live in. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't say that these problems exist and I'm going to enjoy my decadence and my frivolities. I'm going to know all the stats of all the players and all the sports. I'm not going to exercise and train my body to move heavy things. I'm not going to read and train my brain and my mind to recognize patterns, to think more critically, to do word association, to expand my epidex, which means vocabulary. We can't live in frivolity land and experience those things. Someone wrote in the Dennis Prager show, they asked for his advice on becoming a more deep person, a deeper person. And he did give them some praise for even asking that question. It's very reminiscent of King Solomon, who's been given the golden ticket. He's been given the desire of his heart from God. God says, "What do you desire? And I'll give it to you." And he says, "I desire wisdom so that he can better steward God's people, so he can better lead his kingdom," because he took seriously the responsibility of what it is to be a steward of a civilization, to be a leader of a community, in his case, a monarch. In your case, whatever your sphere of influence is, can't give in to all of this bullcrap that's around us. All right, I've spent too much time on this. Guys, The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter, there is a link below. That link is an affiliate link. So if you want to read this book, you know, if you want to read the book, the easiest way to read it is to go to the library. Are my keys in here? I hate that it has a rainbow on this because everyone sees it, and I'm sure I've got to like cover my eyes to get it to show. Anyway, there's a rainbow on the Loudoun County Public Library card, so everyone probably thinks that it's gay. Even though the rainbow belongs to God, it's God's promise, Genesis 1:9, I think. Yeah. No, Genesis 1:9. No, Genesis, 1:27, something like that. Anyway, the easiest way to read the book is to check it out from the library because it's $3.99. But if you want to own the book, like I like owning my books, then go ahead and buy it at this link. No price, no change in price for you. You don't pay more, but it helps grow the show. If you use the affiliate link, it's right below. It is an Amazon link, so if you're not an Amazon shopper, totally understand. I am not a patron of many, many things. All right, let's move on to the next story. Guys, the question with this next story is, are you taking the border crisis seriously enough? Are you considering it as a national security crisis? Not just because of the obvious problem of numbers, that there's so high a number of illegal immigrants, illegal migrants, illegal aliens, whatever you want to call them. It's not It's not bigotry or hatred or racist to call them illegals. I'll just say illegals because that's what they are. They're lawbreakers. They've entered unlawfully. Just like someone who enters the home unlawfully is a trespasser. It is what it is. It's not a hate crime to call someone committing a crime or the name of the crime that they're doing. It's a burglar. It's a thief. It's a trespasser. You know, it's a rapist. It's not bad to call a spade a spade. But we're not even doing that. And you have these large numbers of people coming into your country. It's going to impact everything. It's going to impact policy, fiscal policy, social benefit, the things that we get being a citizen of the United States of America. One of the only places in the world where you're just born here, boom, you're a citizen. You sneak in and have a baby here, boom, that baby's a citizen. That's not the case in Canada. That's not the case in almost all of the nations in Europe and Asia and Africa. Only the United States. The United States has the most lax immigration laws and regulations in the world. We take in more immigrants than nations, I think, 2 through 27 combined. So I don't want to hear the argument that it's race. We do more than our fair share, whatever that means. But when you have this amount of illegals, and the department of whoever keeps trying to say it's like 6 million. No, it is not 6 million. The low estimate in reality is 200 million. The probably more accurate is 600 million illegals have entered into this country since our gracious leader, the very best president, 81 million votes, more popular than Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson combined, Joseph R. Biden, since he started to occupy the White House. We've had some 600 million illegals enter this country. That's a national security crisis, not just because of the transnational crime organizations that are involved, the drug cartels, the human and sex traffickers, but the terrorists, the literal terrorists. And when you go down terrorism road, one of the things that starts to become important to you is, I never put that timer on, so it's 26 minutes. Actually, let's do 20 minutes so I know when to wrap. There we go. When you go down terrorism road, you get into chemical biological threat. So, well, let's look at some of this stuff. The DEA.gov, Drug Enforcement Administration, announces the seizure of over 379 million deadly doses of fentanyl in 2022. Okay. Let's paint this picture a little bit. What this headline says is in the year 2022, the United States government seized more fentanyl or enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in the United States, every American citizen, and then kill some of them two or three times. Because there are what, 337, 338 million Americans? Americans. I'm not talking about everyone, all the occupants right now. Or hey, maybe kill 340 million Americans and 30 million illegals is what this number represents. Serious problem. Now, when you look at that, you might think to yourself, oh, well, you know, that's so many drug busts. They're just little onesie twosies, and when you add them all up, you get to this extraordinary number. If that is what you think, you are what's known as wrong. Let's take a look at this. 1-10-2024. So January. Last month, guys, buckle up. Florida deputies find enough fentanyl to kill 20,000 plus. This is poorly worded. 20,900 plus people during drug bust in Palm Coast home to under arrest. So Mr. and Mrs. Doofus down here, in Florida, usually Florida man, but in this case, Florida man and Florida woman. If I've presumed too much, I don't care because they're two genders. Florida man and Florida woman were found with enough fentanyl to kill, we'll say, 30,000 people. That's pretty hefty, except it's not. We'll go back to 2020. We'll go back to 2022. Three men arrested with enough fentanyl to kill every person in Georgia. Honestly, it was actually two people, and the other person was party to the arrest, so it was probably a dealer and two buyers, or two dealers and a buyer, or a dealer and his associate and a buyer. So these three dodos are arrested with enough fentanyl to kill everyone in Georgia. Now, in 2018, there was a guy who was finally convicted in 2022 who was found with, I think he had 20-something kilos in his trunk. And so it was said that he was found with enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in Atlanta. And I was like, wow, that's really bad. Well, he's been usurped. He's been dethroned because this trio, they've got enough fentanyl to kill everyone in Georgia. Guys, that is a huge national security problem. Why is it a huge national security problem? Because flooding across the border, criminals need materials, they need resources as in human resources, sometimes they need capital as in money, and then they need time and intelligence. They need to plan, they need to figure out the location of their attack. And they need all that stuff. All right, so all of these people are here. They're flooding across the border. Some of them are being given little court dates to say, oh, hey, you crossed over in February 2024. Come back in January of 2027, 2028. Go to this court. We're sending you to New York or Florida or somewhere, but come to this court in Texas or Arizona, which is super likely to happen. And in 3, 4, 5 years, and we'll sort out whether you can stay. Only an idiot would believe that that's going to happen. These court dates are never going to occur. They're just not. 600 million people with court. No, that's not going to happen. If our courts took that on as their full-time job, they still wouldn't be able to get through that list, okay? It's not going to happen, and we can't put crime and punishment on hold while we deal with all of these freaking illegals. But then, of course, we've got, what is this face? Did I write your name down, guy? I've got here, now, I don't speak fluent terrorist, so, it looks like Movsum Samadov, which is kind of, it looks a little Russian. But anyway, we've got this guy crossing the border.
By the way, if you are smart enough, you would know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon you're going to know who I am. Very easy.
Wow, very easy. The entitlement.
No, believe me, I'm much better than that.
The entitlement, guys.
Wow. All right, so here's the problem. We'll blow it up because if you see this face, then I would say run, but maybe take matters in your hand. I don't know. If you see this face, you decide what to do. Here's the thing. When someone says, "Soon you will know who I am," I feel inclined as a constitutionalist, as someone who believes deeply in the First Amendment, I feel inclined to side with freedom of speech. Now, the Supreme Court has ruled, and correctly in this case, many times, that freedom of speech has certain limits. And you can't do, like, you can't make threats. You can't say fighting words in a lot of instances. You can't threaten people's lives. You can't yell fire in a crowded venue. You might feel inclined to say, "Soon you'll know who I am," is a thinly veiled threat. And you'd be correct if someone like me or you said it. But when an internationally known terrorist says, soon you'll know who I am. I'm much bigger than that or better than that. Soon you'll know who I am. That's not a thinly veiled threat. That is a flashing red light stop sign. Like, if they did know who he was, they should have just taken this guy into custody right now. Citizen's arrest or just like, I don't know how you want to prosecute this under street justice. This is a big problem. So we've got all of these people coming in. We don't know who they are. We've got all of this chemical substance, which we can say is a drug or we can say is a biological chemical agent because it's both. You think about the subway terror attack by Aum Shinrikyo in Tokyo, where they let off sarin in, I want to say 88, 89, where they let off sarin gas in the subway stations in Tokyo, killed a bunch of people, injured hundreds. Sarin is an extremely controlled substance. It's a chemical agent that's actually not allowed per the Geneva Convention. So not a lot of places have it. You can make it, sure. I believe it's classified as a nerve agent. I would rather be at an event where there was some type of sarin. But let's say, what if Moses Face or whatever, what is it? Molotov? I just had it. Where did it go? Mosby. Dude, what is your name? Mavsim Samadov here. What if, put your thinking cap on. What if he had arranged for some amount of the fentanyl that's here in the States that's being brought in by transnational crime organizations, drug cartels, etc., that work in partnership with terrorist organizations? What if, I know this is complicated, but what if the known terrorist worked with the known drug dealers to coordinate some of that fentanyl, of which we have more than enough to kill every man, woman, and child in the United States. I'm sorry, to kill every American citizen. Could that be what he means when he says, soon you'll know who I am? Maybe. I'm just a guy that's got a master's degree in Homeland Security and worked in intelligence for a good long time, but what do I know? Doesn't seem to be a problem. Everything seems to be fine. I'm going to move on to the last story because it's just absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I just heard of this, kind of late breaking. This happened today. So I will be reading along kind of live with you all. But it's freaking hilarious. So if you remember back, I know they're always trying to prosecute Donald Trump for everything, but if you can just scrub the brain a little bit and remember that there are other people that are actually breaking laws. If you remember back, there was this issue with Joseph R. Biden when he was vice president, and that issue, which seemed to just plague the Obama administration because of Hillary Clinton and Emailgate, but that issue was mishandling of classified documents, boxes of classified documents in your garage, no locks, no labels, none of that proper safe handling methods and techniques. I mean, you're rich, so you could afford it. Also, you're like the number two dude in the United States government at the time, so you certainly had the resources and manpower to make your wishes come true when it comes to safe custody of these classified documents. Anyway, the United States Department of Justice has announced that they are not going to be seeking criminal charges against Joe Biden, But the reason is, this is not a joke. This is real news, folks. The reason is due to his mental limitations. They say that he's a man of advanced age, oh, I can't even tell that joke. Never mind. So he's up there in age. He doesn't really remember things, and they specifically speak to his mental state. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. So a jury couldn't determine that this man knows what the heck is going on. That's what they're saying. They're saying the lights are on and no one's home. The report released to special counsel Robert Herr found evidence that Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This is something that you or I would spend the rest of our lives in prison for. They would try to imprison the people we disclose to, our spouses, our cousins, our dogs and cats. They would try and put everyone associated with you in prison if you did this. But no, not a Biden. Not a Democrat. Absolutely not. 10,000 emails, private email server that's not even secure. Hillary Clinton, you're fine. Girl, you're fine. It's fine. No one has an interest in going after the documents or the digital cyber infrastructure of the sitting Secretary of State for the United States. No one has an interest in that. However, the DOJ will not seek criminal charges against the president because he is not in, quote, mental state of willfulness. Okay, then has a recommendation been sent to Congress to 25th Amendment him? Because if he doesn't have the mental state of willfulness, if he is unaware, isn't cognizant of the things going on, of the decisions that he's making, of the things that are his job, then when is he being removed from office? This is not a have your cake and eat it too situation. You can't be unfit to stand trial because of mental deficiencies, but also fit to be in charge of the nuclear arsenal, to be in charge of the largest, most powerful military, not the largest, but the most powerful military the world has ever known, the largest and most robust economy in the world. No, you can't have it both ways. I got this clip from Newsmax, Steve Doocy. What a guy. I want to be Steve Doocy when I grow up.
Something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning and I'm an elderly man and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation.
It's totally out. How bad is your memory and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad I let you speak.
Do you feel your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President?
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Something the special counsel said.
All right, so here's the problem. Here's the problem. The lawyers got in the room and they said, hey, this is going to be our defense. We are going to issue this to the United States Department of Injustice. And they fell for it. And they said, this man is not fit to stand trial because he can't remember stuff. Then that same man, that night, so earlier tonight, got on national television and said to Steve Ducey, there's nothing wrong with my memory. I know exactly what's going on. The lawyers are probably, no, Joe. Oh my gosh. This is a time for the stutter. This is a time for you to mutter around and be lost. This is a time for classic Joe Biden. You're speaking full sentences. It's cogent. It's coherent. What are you doing? And your sentences are perjuring us. Your sentences are saying the opposite of the lies that we told the Justice Department so that they wouldn't convict you. So did you know what you did when you did it? And are you aware and able to stand trial now? I got it. His handlers just have one of the hardest jobs in the world. So I'm from New York. I don't really care about sports, but I'll be polite and entertain a conversation. So when someone says, what's your team? I'll say, hey, I don't really like sports, but I'm from Long Island. I've traditionally rooted for the Giants. And then I'll jokingly say, because sports is frozen for me, like back in 2009, the last time I cared or watched. And I'll say, the Giants are the best, worst team in football. You don't know who you're going to get. And they're kind of frozen. Eli Manning is like the quarterback in my mind, because again, I don't care about sports. And he would show up to the game either as a kick butt monster or a total novice that threw more interceptions than receptions. You just didn't know who you were going to get. And Joe Biden and his administration is the New York Giants of administrations. No, that's not true. They're not the best, worst, but you never know what you're going to get. This was the best time for a classic doesn't know what he's doing, bumbling, stumbling Biden. And he's upright. He's speaking into the microphone. He's looking into the eyes of the people that he's conversing with. And he is destroying his own defense. His lawyers are downing a bottle of bourbon right now. They're like, they should prosecute you, Joe, after we delivered our defense to them and they accepted it. You went out and said the exact opposite. Very clearly, it kind of seems like you are aware that you mishandled classified information. You were guilty of this. We were making a defense that you're not fit to stand trial. Not that you didn't do this, dude. Oh, Joe Biden cracks me up. He really does. If I would have known that his presidency would be this hilarious, I would have volunteered to work in the administration. I really would have. I mean, it's got to be better than any of the White House TV shows. It really does. All right, 9:24. I don't actually have time to read more into this, and there's the timer. It goes off. As I say, I don't have more time. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for hanging with me and listening to my random musings. Wherever you're watching, make sure that you like and are subscribed. If it's a platform, I don't even know on Facebook if you subscribe to things. I'm starting to get a little older here. But anyway, make sure that you like and subscribe. The big platform that I use is kind of split between Rumble and podcast, so definitely make sure that you're there. Of course, my close community, my Patreon-type community is over on Locals, thejoemobleyshow.locals.com. The link is always below in my content. Buy the books, buy the merch, the links are below, and thank you guys for hanging out. I'll catch you in the next one.